So, okay, again, welcome to the ebook series. Late, better late than never, I guess. So this is the dissertation. Now, I'm not sure if we have anyone joining us right now that is not familiar with the dissertation, and this is we'll give an abbreviated introduction. Whatever I forget, Maureen, please just chime in. This took Father Iannuzzi 14 or 15 years to accomplish. He took all of Luis's writings and he translated them. Actually, I just saw an email right now that a couple of days ago that Father Iannuzzi's he's going to translate all the volumes. He's already done it. All 36 volumes have already been translated. He just hasn't disseminated it. It's just been for his own private use. So he took all the translated volumes and he summarized it, and he gave us a theological perspective from a Catholic perspective, what the divine will is, what it supposed to be, and what is the intention of Louisa as she pens what Jesus and our Blessed Mother explain. So he did that. He summarized, then he drives us into the volumes to help us to see where he let what led him to that conclusion and to corroborate his conclusion. And we don't really have to corroborate it because the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome, which is authorized by the Holy See, they've already done it and it's already received high accolades. So since the university gave its stamp for approval, in essence, they're saying we accept this on behalf of the Holy See as well. So again, we've got something that's fully approved by the church. Nobody can say, well, that's not approved. No, it is approved to the highest level it can be. It received abrogation, which is the scholastic term for approval. So anyone who's having difficulty maybe getting a synecdoche into your parishes, you may want to say, well, I'm using this dissertation. It has abrogation by the pontifical and authorized by the Holy See. And that may work. It may work, except for like a parish like I have. In my parish, somebody tried to start a prayer group, a divine will prayer group, not myself, someone else. And I think they were using Father Nuzzi's dissertation. And the pastor stopped it. He goes, no, you can't use that. Father Nuzzi's not a priest. So I said, okay. Well, then when they came to me and said, well, this is what he said, I said, okay, I can give you a document from Father Nuzzi's superior, his Roman superior, in charge of the entire order, the St. Joseph Oblate order, which shows that he's number one in good standing, a priest in good standing, and number two, he has permission by he to talk about and teach the divine will. And I gave it to this individual, and this individual tried to give it to the pastor. Pastor goes, I don't want to see that. So, again, volume 36, Jesus says the divine will has two opposite effects. For those disposed, it's life and light. For those who are not disposed, it's blindness. And again, we can't say it's evil, but again, forgive them, Lord, they know not what they do. But Satan is going to work through good people. Remember what our Blessed Lady of Fatima said. There'll come a time where there'll be a diabolical disorientation. Good will be bad, bad will be good. Even good people will do bad things thinking they're doing good. So we don't know. All we need to do is pray. That's all we can do. We can't get upset. We can't get mad. Fiat. My backyard, we can have the Divine Will Synecdoche in church. That's okay. When Father John Olin Brown came here, he gave a message, a very strong message from the Archbishop of Corrado. And his advice was to set these synecdoches, these prayer meetings, these prayer groups in the homes, in the houses. So therefore, it's not subject to being canceled, to being disapproved, not allowed. All this, sometimes you may have to go through these academic exercises, and sometimes it can be very fatiguing. And sometimes it can get us upset, it can get us distracted. So he said, do it in the home. Nobody can stop what you're doing there. And then it can grow from there. Because again, the church, all the entire church is going to embrace this in a matter of time. And we pray for those who are not embracing it. And Jesus says also, woe to those who are working against it. My divine will, he says, they'll have to pay a significant price. So we don't hope for that. We don't wish for that. We don't look forward to that. But we pray for that. Last but not least on that topic, Maureen, Father Iannuzzi is now interjecting himself into the Vatican to explain that he has found errors. And then there was a rumor running around that Father Iannuzzi found errors in the writings. Now, the errors that he found are not in the writings, but actually in the way that the Vatican is approaching understanding this gift. And one of which, just to give you an example, is they're taking an excerpt. They're taking a one or two line from a passage and they're trying to make sense of it without reading what's before it, what's after it, or even in the context of the
My
entire
brother.
volume or the entire book, right? So again, of course, they were blinded. So that's one of five or six that he's going to identify to the Vatican that, their strategy in which they're doing this is not allowing them to get the fruit of this. But it's really interesting. We've been told there are no errors in the divine will, right? The archbishops have told us, our beloved priests have told us, or Mother Gabriel have told us, everyone has told us there's no errors in the writings, but there is some confusion, some ambiguities. But actually found a passage where the caption, if I can find it, I just had, maybe it's not meant to be. Oh, here it is. You have captions underneath the date and the volume. Okay. This is volume 3, January 8th, 1900. And the caption under it says, quote, "The errors contained in these writings which will do good." Wow. Oh, something's wrong because everyone's telling us there's no errors, but yet this caption says the errors are going to be good. What does Jesus say? Well, he says this, and it's a combination, I think, of the two. He says about two-thirds of the way down the passage, he says, quote, "I can assure you that they will find not a shadow of vice or anything which is not of virtue. Because while you write, Louisa, I myself guide your hand. At the most, they may find a few errors at first sight, but if they look at them thoroughly, they will find the truth." End quote. So again, these errors serve to allow the truth to shine that much brighter. So right now, the Vatican is stating that they found errors, but they have these ambiguities, these things that they cannot explain. So again, of course, if you can't explain it, you've got to explain why it's not going forward. And you say, well, there may be a problem here, there may be a problem there. Jesus says, well, at first sight, because again, as you said earlier, they may be looking at it humanly, they're going to be befuddled. They're going to be confused. They're going to be seeing what's really not there. They may notice an error, but as they examine it more thoroughly, they will see that the truth is actually there, which looked like an error. So again, this is all mystical. This is all incredibly veiled. It's all incredibly cryptid. Maureen, I was looking at this and I was just thinking to myself really quickly, and we'll get to the program, I promise, that I think all of this is there so that he can separate those who truly are looking and wanting this gift to those who may be interested but not really interested. He said there's no middle of the road. There's no more gray area. It's either black or white. It's either you're with me or you're not with me. You embrace this gift or you don't embrace this gift. You can't be middle of the road. You can't straddle the road. It's got to be all or none. So maybe he's giving us this opportunity. If we're really doubting, if we really don't have confidence in God, say, okay, see, they were right. There are errors. I'm out of this, or whatever the case may be. So this is to strengthen those who may be feeling weakness in the divine will. It may strengthen also those who have always maintained that this is the gift of gifts. This is the prodigy of prodigies, not because we're saying it, because that's what Jesus says, and I believe what Jesus says. So again, I think this is all good. And also think about it too, Maureen. If when Father goes there to present these errors that the Vatican is making into looking at it, advice is don't wish for Father Annuzzi's success, but rather wish for God's will to be done. Because I mean, of course we want success so that these can be approved and this whole process can go forward. We want that. But that may not be what God wants at this time.
Right.
We don't know that. So if we ask, we pray for God's will to be done, we can't lose. So if it's God's will that this be corrected now, Father Annuzzi will be very successful. If it's not God's will that this be corrected at this time, Father Annuzzi, as great as he is, will not be successful. He's not successful. What does that mean? What's the flip side? Well, it gives us more opportunity to embrace this gift in faith And again, in volume two, Jesus says, faith is God. Faith equals God. And whenever anyone was healed, he says, it's your faith that healed you. He loves our faith, believing in something that you cannot concretely see. It takes trust, it takes confidence, it takes mercy, it takes all the attributes of God to embrace this and not have those second guesses and those quivers of instability, of uncertainty. So again, if it's ready, great, off to the race. If it's not, we're still off to the races. We don't change a thing. We do, in fact, we do change a thing. We get even more intense in our study. And that doesn't mean we get uptight, intense. Relax, enjoy it, but just ponder it. Ponder it often. And God, you know, when we ponder it, when I try to learn it, I can't learn a thing. But when I just ponder it, sort of these things start to come to light a little bit. A little bit. Sometimes a lot, but most times a little bit. Just have to leave this up to God. We just have to do our job. Just say, I'm in it. Put your foot forward and then let God pick us up and God will stress it away.
I'm
Great.
picturing Father Iannuzzi, like on Capitol Hill with all these people questioning him. And but if you're in the divine will, you don't get nervous because God's will be done. You know, like he's probably much more relaxed knowing, I mean, he's relaxed anyway, but knowing that, you know, God's in charge here and I just do what I'm supposed to do. And if they like it, fine. If they don't, it's God's will and we'll come back another time. I mean,
Right.
it probably is good and good for your blood pressure and everything else. You know,
Yeah,
it's just
that's very good. You know, I agree with you. I don't think he's going to be the least bit nervous. In fact,
no.
I think the thing that he has to fear the most is overconfidence because he's done this already. What they're looking for has already been done. The answer's already there.
Right.
He's actually just giving them the methodology so they can, you know, the best way to convince someone or to make them believe it is to let them find it themselves. So you sort of push
Yeah.
it to, you know, point them to it, and then, oh, look what I found. Let them think they found it. He's not going to tell them point blank, you're wrong. I don't think he could, though. He's probably going to say, well, look here. Or if you haven't been looking, have it look over here. Or this is the way you want it. Here, try these bifocals. These are the divine will lenses. You'll be able to understand it better with this. So I don't know how he's going to do it. He's not the most tactful at times, you know, Father. He's a wonderful priest, he's a holy priest. But sometimes he's Italian. So he sometimes he doesn't have that finesse. We all lack it, I think, at times. But I think, again, if we go into it just praying for God's will to be done, we will be ecstatic. We'll be happy, and we're going to get our prayers going to be answered because either way it goes, again, we want what God wants at this time. We know what He wants long term. We just don't know exactly what He wants at this time. But it all looks good to me, and again, it's all been done. So that's what's so beautiful.
And you know what? Regardless, I don't mean to say this in a disrespectful way, but regardless of what's happening in Rome or the Vatican, it's growing cr leaps and bounds around the world. So it's still growing and people are hungry for it and the people are seeing it and sensing the holiness. So it's moving, like the spirits are moving, regardless of what's happening there. So that's kind of encouraging.
I think you and George are thinking alike. He just texted. He said that Jesus maybe this is just the way that Jesus' way of to bring the worldwide attention to divine will. And then as everyone's looking at it, then everything will be fixed. And again, everyone will hopefully keep their gaze on God. So this is so beautiful. Yeah, we don't know. We don't know what, but I know that there are a lot of, and I feel really bad, a lot of anxious, really upset people about, you know, this cause being paused. Again, this is 4-year-old news. I mean, this.
Yeah.
We got the communication March 4th of 2020, and all of a sudden now some of these Catholic but not so Catholic media sites are saying, "Look what's happening to the divine will. It's over." And, you know, I think even E.W. Tim came out with one not speaking on behalf of E.W. Tim, but speaking on behalf of themselves, that, oh, she'll never be canonized. All these negative things, but that's okay. Let them say what they want.
That's right. Let them say what they want.
Never allow anything to distract us. That's the key.
Nope. That's
That's the
right.
key. Just don't be distracted. But
Or
yeah,
stay unified. Yeah.
unity is a whole different puzzle. Everyone's calling for unity, and yeah, that's a great thing. But okay, if I see the divine will as yellow, and you see the divine will as green, and someone else sees the divine will as red, how could we be united in what color the divine will is? We can't. So the point there is, I think until we're grounded in truth, we can never be united.
Right.
Unity is surrounded and engulfed by truth. So I think once the truth comes out, and that perhaps, Mary says, take advantage of this extra time. Absolutely. Take advantage of this extra time. You know why? Because as we're journeying in faith, I have to believe that once all the final stamps of approval come from the church, that some of our faith is going to have to be certainly converted to obedience. Well, we believe because the church believes and the church says we ought to believe. We don't want to lose that full, of course, we want that, but we don't want to lose the opportunity now that we have. For as long as we have it. Great point, Mary. We have the opportunity now to grow and to thrive, not just to survive, but to thrive in this gift in faith. What a great opportunity. But again, this book, if you've got some people that are saying, you can't do this, you have a pastor that says you can't do this, you can't do that, bring it into your homes. If you have some negotiating room, just explain that you've got this dissertation, has approval from the Pontifical Gregorian University, which many popes have gone through. It's authorized by the Holy See. Nothing here. There are no errors in this, as per the church's perspective. Can we use this? And if they still say no, thank you. But what did our Lord say? Shake the dust from your sandals and move on. But that might be enough to get your foot in the door. Sometimes, the Virgin Mary in the kingdom, imprimatur nihil absolut. Sometimes that works. Sometimes that doesn't even work. So again, it's hard too for some of these parishes, for these priests, if you think about them, pastors, if they know nothing about the divine will, how
Sure.
can they give their blessing? I mean,
Right.
it's a risk. They're probably better off saying, well, you know what? Hold on until I can look into this. And of course, they have no time to look into us. So you're holding on to perpetuity. And that's not good either. We just got to keep going forward. It's like Isaiah, stepping into the breach until we're taken out of the way, until God changes the course. We're all water. We're this like little stream of water trying to get back to the ocean, to the sea of God. And every time, there's a little pebble or a little bit of a stick that's in our way, it redirects the water. So again, let's just keep flowing. And if God wants to redirect us here, redirect us there, we have to just sort of like that phrase, go with the flow, but never stop, because we cannot stop until we get back to that ocean. Just like the church can never stop. The church can never stand still until it achieves its ultimate purpose, which is to bring us back to the order, the place, and the purpose which we're created by God. And until it does that, it cannot stop. And again, because there are men and women that are involved in it, it's going to be two steps forward, one step back. Be happy with the two steps forward. Don't be despondent with the one step back. Remember what Saint Cyril of Jerusalem said: when things get difficult, you may have to flee from the wolves, gather with the sheep, but never leave the church. So we may have to make some difficult decisions. We may have to realign ourselves with different people. We want to stay positive. We don't want to just toss someone who's negative just overboard. That's not what I'm saying. But we have to be keen, because distractions come in a myriad of different ways and we have to try to avoid them. It's like a pothole as we drive. We don't want to hit them. You can hit a few, but the more potholes you hit, the more risk you have to damaging your tire. And then, of course, your journey will be stalled. So we have to be careful. Again, in charity, constantly in charity, never losing that. And of course, always in love. Can you please keep me quiet, Maria, so we can move on a little bit here?
Yeah, but then that wouldn't be you, Peter, and
Yeah, I
that's why we
know.
love you.
Yeah, that's why nobody listens. Okay, so so we're still on 6.1.5.2, and I think we're still on a variation of footnote number 105. So maybe Maureen, there's not really okay. Maybe we can start right here at the tail end of this, and then we can go right to the footnote if that's okay.
Okay. Louisa elaborates on the manner of this exchange and subsistence in human nature when she affirms that in the prelapsarian Adam and in the soul that lives in the divine will, the human will shares in the substance of the divine will. It shares by grace in the same continuous cooperation with God's eternal operation that Jesus possessed by nature and that enabled him to impact and enliven all things.
Okay. Again, that's another one of Father Nuzzi's summaries, brief one here, but there's just so much to so many offshoots of that. And here he drove us into footnote number 105. I I think we got through the footnote, but I think there's some ancillary footnotes that we've added to that, just to keep the flow going. Okay, yeah, I've got it right here. Why don't we just, instead of going back to the red, why don't we just pick up right here? Actually, Maureen, we're going to go back two lines. We'll just read the bold, and then we can go to the new material. And I
Okay.
think that's the best way to use our time.
And in fact, all created things are just as they were created. None of them has lost anything of its origin. Only man lost the life, the foundation, and therefore he lost nobility, the strength, and the likeness to his creator.
Okay, so not that we weren't guilty enough. So everything is as it was, except for us. We're the only ones. And
Problem
that's why
child.
all yeah. And that's why if you also look at it, and if you listen to Father Nuzzi's retreat in the Philippines, which is on the front page of our website, queenthedivineworld.org, he mentions about that, and he says that there's a cause and effect relationship. Again, Jesus says that all of creation was formed in order to please and honor God, and for us to remind us of God and his glory and his infinite might. So they have a job to do. Their job is to represent, basically they're ambassadors of God in what they are. And Father Nuzzi goes into detail. Again, they don't have souls, they don't have intellect, they don't have reasoning, but they have this innate, I guess you can't explain it, at least I can't explain it. Understanding, I mean, like there's been reports out like, well, when you scream at a plant, it doesn't grow very well. But if you speak nicely to it or play nice music, it does well. I don't know if that's true or not. But what Father Nuzzi said, and I do believe this, is that as sin abounds or gets deeper and worse, this disorder gets worse as well. So when Adam sinned, there were before that there were no calamities. Now all of a sudden there are earthquakes, there are tidal waves, there are tsunamis. All these things, there are storms, hurricanes, typhoons, all these things are nature expressing their displeasure for, in essence, getting their pink slip. They got laid off. When Adam and Eve fell from grace, they were there to so that Adam and Eve may look at all of creation and make the rounds and give glory and honor to God and the love of God because they could. They were in perfect union. And now, since Adam and Eve lost that position, they lost their job and they're not happy. No one's happy when you lose your job, probably. So as sin abounds, nature begins to rebel even more violently. And that's why things are probably going to get worse, maybe much worse before they start to get better. So again, keeping that into perspective, I think that's really, you can ponder that all day. I'm not advocating you should because there's so much to do. Remember Jesus says, I love this, when Louisa was so, I think it was the sixth hour of the Passion. She was so enamored. She says, "Oh, I can just stay here forever. I just love it." And what do you say? Come on, let's go, move on. There's much more I have to give you, much more I have to tell you. So again, that's why the church has to keep moving. That's why it can't stay in the 50s. It can't stay in the 60s. It can't stay in the 70s. It can't stay anywhere. It has to keep going forward because it's going forward, moving back. And until it does that, it's not going to fulfill its purpose. And I think that's in volume 14. I'm not going to read it right now, but it's there. Finally, the new material, Marie. Oh,
Okay.
Marie, I'm sorry. Do you have anything to add to
No,
that?
I just thought that was really interesting what you were just saying about the church has to keep moving forward and not go backward. That's really great because people want it to be the old church, right? And it's not supposed to be the old church. Is that what you're talking
Yeah,
about,
and it's
Peter?
hard to explain it too, because let's take, for example, one that's really a common denominator. We have a lot of traditional Catholic friends that wish that we had the Latin Mass. And I personally love the Latin Mass. We had the Latin Mass for like over 1500 years. I think it did a lot of good. It didn't bring us back to the divine will, but it did a lot of good. Now God brings this Vatican II, and yeah, it was hijacked. Yeah, there's a lot you can say is not very, but there's a lot of really, really good also if you look closely. One of which is the reestablishment of the common priesthood. The priesthood that Adam and Eve enjoyed, the priesthood that we will enjoy again. The Latin Mass, as beautiful as it was moving away from that common priesthood. And I'm not saying intentionally, I'm not saying negatively, but now all of a sudden, there's a greater participation of the laity. And of course, that's met with resistance if that's not the way it's been for a long time. And again, there are abuses that come from some of that. Again, I think that's maybe the majority, or the minority, I should say. But to your point, it has to keep moving. Two steps forward, one step back. There's going to be negatives. There's going to be attacks. Again, when they found the Communist Manifesto, number one on the Communist Manifesto that must be, in their eyes, destroyed is the Catholic Church, because it's the greatest impediment to global communism. Because again, it teaches the opposite of communism. It's love, it's peace, it's tranquility. So they're going to attack it. Now we have 1025. This is a historical event where we don't know the exact number, but over a period of 15 or 18 years, there were like 10,000 men ordained to the priesthood that were ordained solely for the purpose of destroying the church from the inside out. We know that they got into the seminaries. We know that they were the hired psychologists. And if somebody spoke positively about the Pope or spoke positively about our Blessed Mother, oh, he's too rigid, they'd send him to the psychologist. Oh no, he rejected. But if someone came in, with crazy ideas and speaking in lisps and all kinds of, dressed up as whatever, you're perfect. Okay, sign him up. So again, it was all intentional. And God allowed this. God allowed this to happen. Again, we can't explain why, but he did allow it to happen. But again, all this is going to come to light. Everyone's going to recognize this. And the divine will is bringing us back slowly but surely. But it's a hard battle. I mean, how do you start swimming against the current? Or how do you brake after you're going 100 miles an hour? You have to do it slowly. Otherwise, it could be very dangerous. It could be counter productive. So we have to do it slowly. I think God's been doing that over the last 100 years, or so, at least since 1917 or so. Again, and that's why it's so beautiful where we're living at this time, because I think everything is coming to a head, so to speak, where I think some major changes are going to happen. They may be a blip to the negative to begin with, and I think the positive is going to well overshadow whatever negative we go through. But again, God has decided we're going to be here during this time, so we embrace it, and we
I just thank our Blessed Mother and all through history with the prophets and everything. God has always warned his people so that we're ready, spiritually, first of all, for whatever comes. He doesn't surprise us with anything. It's almost gotten to the point where you're like, okay, Lord, come on. Because we see, we're starting to see like he sees. And I know in Medjugorje, they asked the visionaries, they asked Our Lady, why? Why doesn't, because saw all the evil, and they said, why is God waiting so long for the secrets or the chastisements? And Our Lady said, because every day souls come to him. It's just such a motherly, like every day people are converting worldwide. So in the perfect time, in his perfect time, as he does everything perfect, he'll allow things to happen. And he's
now
in
that you explain
control.
that, I'm really motivated. You're so spot on. There was an article here in one of Father Nuzzi's books called The Splendor of Creation. Really great book. It's a great foundation for the divine will. It talks about, I think it's St. Augustine or St. Aquinas that talks about, I think it's Augustine, who talks about, when time comes to an end, it's going to be abrupt. And that's it. There's no more gaining merit. There's no more anything except for what we have, where we have it. And that's how we progress to our next journey. And so when you think about that, it doesn't put any pressure on, I don't think, but I think it does remind us that we have to make the best use of our time. Again, I know the souls in purgatory through certain mystics have explained and articulate the fact that if they had a regret, if they had to do something over again, they would have made better use of the time while they were on earth. So that's something we can learn from. Remember, poor Adam and poor Eve, they had no one that went before them that either succeeded or fell. So they couldn't say, oh, I'm not going to repeat that, or that's who I should follow. They had nobody before them. Yes, they had omniscience. They knew the end result of their actions, but they didn't know it completely. So that's what Father Nuzzi says. So again, we have all these beautiful things that go before us, like the souls in purgatory. We can learn from that, make better use of time. What did the saints say? They wish they had more time on earth in which to suffer. So, I mean, how quickly do I complain about a little bit of suffering? We can learn. We can learn from the past. And I think we've done that. And now God is going to take all that. He's going to synthesize it. He's going to condense it. And he's put everything in the 6,000 years since the fall of Adam. He's put everything into the book of heaven. And it's not all ready to be expanded. That's up to us. We read it and we give him the opportunity to expand. One word is the divine life. It can go on for eternity. One word. In the divine will. And we just maybe just look at the word and say, okay, well, substance, I know what that means. Well, in the language of heaven, we probably don't know what it means exactly. We don't know what it means completely. I mean, think about the secret. Remember the secret? Isn't the secret a nefarious term? Like if I said, I got a secret, oh, that's bad, right? Something negative. But I'm looking for the divine will prayer book. I was only organized, that'd be dangerous. Okay, this is another one of Father Nuzzi's books, the Divine Will Prayer Book. So if we look at that, actually, it's not even in that, it's in the, I think it is. Okay. It's in the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom. It's meditation number one. And our Blessed Lady gives us the definition of a secret in the language of heaven, not the language of the Webster's Dictionary. She says, quote, "For a secret is a need of the heart, which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding." End quote. So not only is it not nefarious, but actually it's a compliment. God and His Blessed Mother would not be divulging these secrets, these truths, another word for secret, unless they felt that we were capable of understanding. So again, we should never say, oh, I'll never get this. Because Jesus promised, I think it's in volume six. If you have a desire to understand this, if you have a desire to possess this gift, he says, be in the state of grace and I'll take care of everything else. He'll form that ardent desire. He'll allow us to ask for this gift. He'll form that upright intention, which we probably have part of to begin with. We want this for the right reason. And that's all we need to receive this gift. Jesus says in volume 14, he had to make this gift easy and accessible to all, unless they didn't want it. Easy and accessible in all situations, all conditions, and all circumstances, everywhere. And we're chasing butterflies. There's nowhere we have to go. And what does God say when Luis is looking all over for Jesus? He says, why are you looking for me over there, over there? Look inside yourself. The greatest, it's the easiest way, the fastest way to find me. And he's inside each and every one of us.
You're never alone.
You can't make this stuff up. I mean, this is,
No.
but to those who don't have faith, I mean, we would sound crazy. I know I sound crazy to myself sometimes, don't comment there. Okay, you want to continue, Marie?
Sure.
Okay.
But in spite of this, my will did not leave man completely. Unable to still be his source of life and the foundation that would sustain him, because he himself had withdrawn from it. It offered itself as medicine so that he might not perish completely.
Okay. Remember, we hear Adam and Eve, they lost everything. Well, they didn't really lose everything because if they had lost everything, Jesus says they would have ceased to exist. And if they had ceased to exist, there would have been no opportunity for redemption. There would have been no opportunity for sanctification. It would have been over for mankind. Adam and Eve lost everything except, well, Adam, the divine will beating his heart, breathing his lungs, and beating his heart, breathing his lungs, flowing his blood. That the divine will kept doing so that the opportunity for redemption was there for Adam and his descendants and for the era of sanctification, which we're in right now. So God kept that sort of umbilical cord connected. Otherwise, he says to the extent that if he didn't, we would have ceased to exist. So he kept enough of the divine will in us, not enough to recognize it being the divine will at first, but the life. The true life of our physical being. That's what's so incredible. And then for the last 2,000 years, he's given us the medicine, which again, I don't know if I can find it, but it's everything that he's given us for the last 2,000 years specifically that keeps us going. He articulates the fact that it's the church, the saints, the sacraments, everything has been given to us so that we may have that opportunity to go back to the order, the place, and the purpose which were created by God. In fact, he says the church in its sacraments, including the Holy Eucharist, not to minimalize or trivialize it, but he says they have been seeds. They have been a means in which to reach the goal of the restoration of God's initial plan. See, the initial plan never failed. It just took a 6,000-year detour. Okay, it's just coming back. It can't fail. God cannot fail. God cannot be wrong. And that's why when Adam first came out, he says, "My God, the author of my life." He is the author of our life. He wrote our book of life. But he loves us so much that he actually gave us editing capability. But when we edit, we run a risk of destroying what is perfect, his plan. And what is perfect? Oh, you mean that accident I had in 2017? That's perfect. You mean losing my job in 2000? That's perfect. Yes. God's permissible will never do something unless a greater good will be brought out of it. And we can just quick litmus test, take one of the worst situations that happened to us in our lives and think if God's mysterious permissible will did not allow that event to happen, would we be here today? And I have to challenge anyone that said, no, that wouldn't make a difference. We wouldn't be here today. Everything had to happen exactly the way it did. Think about how this is mind-boggling to me. We're here because of our descendants, because of our ancestors. Think about our great, 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 great grandmother. What if she got cold feet the night or the day she was to meet our great, 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 great grandfather? And they never met and they never got married. We wouldn't be here. And that goes for every descendant in the past. What if they didn't walk quickly across the street? What happens if they would have gotten hit by that bus? That was such a close call. How many close calls have we had in our lives? Everything had to work exactly the way it did for us to be here today. And that's why we have to be so grateful. This has been orchestrated by God. This has been planned by God. And he expects us to respond. He knows who will and won't. And I think we all will. Thanks be to God for that. Maureen?
Okay. No, I don't have anything
You
to
do.
say.
You're just
No,
thinking right
no, I
now.
don't. You said it all. Okay. So my will is medicine, is sanity, is preservation, is food, is life, is fullness of the highest sanctity.
I'll be real quick here. It's everything. His will is everything. It encloses it. It's that snow globe where all the pieces of snow are there. It's like we're living in this huge snow globe and everything's connected. And we're going to touch every piece of those white puffs if we're there long enough. We're all connected. We're all here. Nothing's outside of this. In fact, the only ones that are outside of this connectivity right now, we just learned, is us. We were sent out to the exile. We were kicked out of the playground. Everyone else is on the playground having a good time, playing the way they ought to be. And God's inviting us back in now. But there's a couple of requirements, and they're not difficult, right?
In whatever way the creature wants it, so does it offer itself. If she wants it as medicine, it offers itself in order to take away from her the fever of passions, the weaknesses of impatience, the vertigo of pride, the sickliness of attachments, and so with all the rest of evils. If she wants it as sanity, it offers itself to preserve her healthy, to free her from any spiritual illness. If she wants it as food, it gives itself as food to make her strengths develop and grow more in sanctity.
It's a mystery. It's a mystery. I remember when Pope Benedict Emeritus, when he when they had they covered a meeting that he had with cardinals and bishops, and the topic was, don't try to explain everything about our Catholic faith, because some things are unexplainable or cannot be explained fully. He says, leave that to the Holy Spirit. So again, Our books may be written, but our chapters may be highlighted. And that depends on our response, not our reaction necessarily, but our response. But God's going to give us all the tools we need to build whatever He wants each and every one of us to build, metaphorically, spiritually, not physically, or maybe physically, who knows? Saints built physically. They did something, and that's who they became. Jesus says, no, I want to do the opposite. I want you to be first and then go out and do, because I'm going to take you to a whole different level. Okay. Oh, this is a great line. I have it highlighted. This is a really great line. Maybe this is where we might have to end.
If she wants it as life and as fullness of sanctity, oh, then my will makes feast, because it sees man returning into the womb of his origin from which he came, and it offers itself to give him the likeness of his creator, the only purpose of his creation. My will never leaves man. If it left him, he would resolve into nothing.
And you know what I think is really, really true, Maureen? God has mentioned this in other chapters multiple times. Basically, I'm paraphrasing it. He says that He will give to us the divine will as much as is little, commensurate to our desire, commensurate to how much we want it. And that's why remember, He told us early in the volumes, He says the greatest way to receive this gift in depth is to move God, give God a reason to give us more and more. Please, God, to move him to want to give it. Then he goes on in chapter 17, volume 17, and this was the foundation of the Crossing the Exile program on Wednesdays. He says, okay, the evils are going to be so great, basically, that I need to give you more. And I'm giving you now a greater opportunity. I'm raising the bar. Now you can enchant me. And you can enchant me by keeping your disposition, by keeping your sanity, by keeping your trust in me, your confidence, your faith, as you journey across this exile with all its potholes and problems and storms and all kinds of distractions, everything to try to take us off our game, to knock us off the balance beam. If we're on the balance beam, everything's going to be thrown at us. And usually Satan knows exactly where our weaknesses are. So when God says, I want two things I can do are the best, which is to make you know who I am and to know who you are. So if we know what our weaknesses are and we acknowledge them, then we know where to be on the lookout, because he's going to tempt us where we're weakest, where we like to go, if it's not a place we should go. And we need to recognize that. And I think we can be on guard for that. So again, yeah, Maureen.
I was going to say, you know how Father Celso says things and you have to think about it for a minute. I know for me, like he'll say something, I'll say, I have to think about that. And then it comes later. And it was, he said, reading the volumes is like the illumination of conscience. And I it hit me, because when you're reading the volumes, you are becoming more aware of your weaknesses, and the light of God's love is like you've never experienced it before. And that's what the illumination, the light of God will shine on all your defects. And so I see how that happens when you're reading the volumes. But you're reading and you're realizing your defects, but it's always in light of His great love. And His great love gets greater when you're reading the volumes, because He exposes it to you over and over again, like never before. So there's no doubt in your mind of His great love for you. So you're more intent on, first of all, believing that these are your th you do these things. This is how you really are, and you want to fix it in His great love for you. It made all perfect sense to me after a while. I had to think about it.
Yeah, you don't have to think about it too long. I agree with you 100%. But when we hear it from God, we're more apt to believe it, to trust it, and to really act on it. It's like in the world, I mean, don't trust your drinking buddies to tell you drink too much. Don't trust your golfing buddies that say, oh, you're golfing too much. I mean, it's not going to happen. But you need that independent, that loving. I mean, all God wants us to do is to do what we need to do so we can be with Him. That's all. So everything he's going to ask us to do, he's going to persuade us to do, he's going to enlighten us to do, is going to be so that we may do what's best for us, which is to be with
Right. So for our own good.
Yeah. So all of that's great. And I think what we can do is we can end on this last line, which I think is powerful. We can send we can be sent off with just meditating on this. This is great.
And if man does not give himself to letting my will make him a saint, my will uses the ways to at least save him.
So don't strive for purgatory. If you fall short, you end up in hell. Strive for heaven, you fall short, you end up in purgatory. And you're gonna be in heaven at one point in time anyway. So it's a win. I hate this phrase, but it's a win-win. There's nothing, there's no way to lose. Did my lights go out? There's no way to lose. No way to lose. Only one way to win. I'd like to end with one thing, Maureen. I took you a couple minutes past time here. Sorry about that. The divine will has changed everything. It's flipping the tables like Jesus did in the temple. It's going backwards, upside down. It's changing everything. Everything that's gone bad is now being turned right side up. So I love this. I love, we just passed this. This was February 18th when what used to be the feast day of Saint Bernadette. Because on February 18th was the day our Blessed Mother promised to Bernadette, Saint Bernadette, to make her not to, oh no, she promised to make her happy, not in this life, but in the other. Now God, because it wasn't available then. A short time after this, now it is available. So now we can say God is saying, I will make you happy. And I'm giving you an opportunity to make you happy in this life as well as the next. That's what God is doing. He's turned it all upside down. We have the greatest potential, greatest opportunity in the history of mankind, not just to do it for ourselves, but to do it through the communion of saints and to do it for all souls, past, present, and future. If that be God's most holy divine will. So keep praying that Father Anuzzi's that God's will be done in Father Nuzzi, and to what extent, whatever that is. If it's successful, great. If it's not successful, it's still successful in one way or another. So thanks be to God. Thanks be to you, Maureen, for coming and giving us this valuable time of yours. I know that for a fact. And what is today? Today's Friday. Okay. Nothing tomorrow. We have Mother Gabriel and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are coming to us live, I think, from Tennessee on Sunday. I'm not quite sure. Well, it's either Tennessee or Italy. I can't be wrong on either one of those two, but I think it's Tennessee. So that begins at 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock Eastern time for the Rosary and Perpetual Adoration. So thanks be to God. And again, happy with every day and just keep treading. Remember, if we give this our all, we fall short, we don't become a saint. Well, at least we know we're going to heaven. Become a saint, we push right through sainthood and possess this gift of the divine will. Then it's the greatest opportunity to be the greatest humble hero in the history of mankind. And he's chosen us. What a sense of humor our Lord has. Bye, everyone. Enjoy.
Bye,
be
Peter.
kind to one
Bye,
another.
Everybody.
We'll see you on Sunday. Thanks again, Maureen.
See you later, Peter.